You're listening to YourRightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The reading of the Word this morning noted that Paul was given a dispensation of God, mystery, in order to complete it. I want to lay these strong points upon you this morning so that if you really desire to please God, you'll know how. We have a little quotation on the front here. Said to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, he's not to be ashamed, on rightly dividing, departmentalizing, if you will, cutting the truth, however you like to say it. The greatest trap that Satan has is a truth, because this builds nothing but traditions. And we cannot have the truth until we have the whole truth. It's ironic, but even man demonstrates this in his own selfishness. I've been listening, and I'm sure some of you have, the last 2-3 weeks, I guess you might call it a debate, between the Congress of the United States and the executive branch. And I think the Secretary of State summarized it pretty well when he said his position was that there had to be an open policy. Sounds real good. And it cannot be a departmentalization. Right, division. Had to take everything. Well, in truth, it is truth that you have to have the complete Word of God. And it's the failure to recognize these departments where all our problems arise. There's no use talking about a complete Word of God until you come to the part of the Bible where it says it's complete. And the mystery tells us that. It gives us a position when we work from that to see what God's eternal purpose is. Now, we're going to leave this on the board here for a couple of weeks, I hope, so that you can digest some of these things, and we'll have some more to put up there. I want to try to cram all this in this last lesson the best we can. But there must be complete truth, not just partial truths. Let me illustrate the point since I brought up the meeting. I noticed that the Secretary of State and those who questioned him, they were bringing up comments that were made by previous testimony concerning conversations in Iran about these problems. And they were quoting from things that were promised to the Iranians if they would do such and such things. And what they quoted was probably true as far as what was said. What they didn't quote was the fact that these statements were made in the context of a cover-up. As Mr. Norris said, he would have promised him Disneyland if he thought he'd get the job done. The very nature of that operation was a lie to begin with. So it's not truthful to quote those things and put them in a context as if they were true. When you quote a truth, ignore the context of the truth, you're doing the same thing. Things are not always what they seem. And the very fact that we have no light today is evidence of the fact that even God's people today know nothing about the complete Word of God, which is the mystery. We saw week before last that God's eternal purpose was in eternity to bring everything under one headship, which is Christ, both the things in heaven and upon earth. We saw in the context of Israel, the promises to Abraham, in the revealed plan, the peoples of earth and those promises take up, by and large, most of what Scripture has to say. the context of the people who will have heaven as their home, that's a very small part of Scripture. It was a context that was before the overthrow or foundation of the world. Whereas the revealed plan has to do with the things of this planet in the context of things since or from the foundation of the world. Those are departmentalizations, beloved. Have to be kept separate in your thinking to bring together the whole. But God's eternal purpose, whether in earth or upon earth or in heaven, is to bring everything under the headship of Christ. This will be accomplished in eternity. So as I say, you cannot look at things as they are now necessarily and get the picture. But we have a roadmap, so to speak, to show us the way. God is not going to be frustrated. Everything is under his headship. We don't have to worry about human government because we're told the God of this world is Satan. We're told that he's the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. We see it every day. So don't be surprised that you see truth forever on the scaffold. Behind that scaffold stands the Mighty One. God has not abdicated. He's allowing man to have his day. This is man's day. It's man's judgment day. The mystery is the enlightening factor, though, to those who really want to know the truth, to know what it's all about. And know that in the end, to those that really believe, they will be brought to that complete headship in the fullness of God. We saw how that can approach the truth at first, week before last, from two different perspectives. One, the things revealed concerning things since or from the foundation of the world, which makes the time in which we live a parenthesis in the hope of Israel. Or, we can view it from the larger picture, which is the eternal purpose. We can view it that the revealed plan, Israel's hope, is simply a parenthesis of the larger picture. Depends on the perspective you look at it, don't you see? Last Sunday, we noted in the prayer in the third chapter of Ephesians that Paul prayed we might understand the fatherhood of God moving in this direction. And he had given us an instrument called the faith. This is the gift of God to every one of us. The faith is that body of truth that's addressed to you for your faith obedience. Now, whether we're talking about salvation or growth, either way, it makes no difference. Because as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk you in him. Same way you got saved, the same way you walk. But it must be based upon the context of the faith. The faith is that which is the cause and the gift of God. Your response to that faith is your personal involvement. You repeat that. The cause is the gift of God. That's the faith he gives you. For instance, when he enlightens you, when he gives you understanding, your response to that in believing and acting upon it are not determines the whole picture of your personal faith. Your personal faith is no greater than your confidence in the faith that he gives you. For instance, this is the eternal principle stated in Romans 10:17. It makes no difference where you go in the Bible. Anything ever pleased God is based upon this premise. By faith, not by faith, but by the faith. That's what the Greek said. Faith cometh by the hearing. The faith cometh by the hearing what God has to say to you. that faith by the Word of God. So your response is your personal faith. But the gift of God is the faith that He gives you. For instance, I believe that Noah built an ark. That does not give me any faith for obedience. It did for Noah. He built an ark. He responded in personal faith to the faith that was given him. Faith, the faith, is the gift of God. Your personal faith is your response to it. The fact that, by and large, that most of God's people know nothing about the mystery tells us they do not know that the Bible is the complete Word of God. They would take the Bible as canon of some people and say this is the Word of God. But they cannot know it's complete unless they believe the mystery. It's impossible. Because there's where it's told us that it is complete. So while on the one hand they may be saved and enter into those promises that have to do with the real plan of God, there's no way they can have a part in the mystery and the things it offers. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And just as we got saved by believing that God was in Christ, reconciling the world and Himself, just so, as we have received, therefore Christ, so walk you in the same way. We have to take the faith in that's given us. And that is the mystery that's to complete the Word of God. This is what makes us the whole man that God wants. This will bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ that God desires. This will bring us to the fullness that God promises in that prayer of last week, the third chapter of Ephesians, that we, until we all come to that place, and that prayer closes with God is able to do abundantly above anything that we might hope for in this matter, if we really trust Him, to be brought to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the fullness God has for you. A lot of people talk about dying, going to heaven. Did you know that there's no place in the Bible that talks about going to heaven as a reward except in the mystery? It's a strange thing. There's a great resurrection, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There's a great rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, has to do with people who are dead in the grave, corrupted. There's a great chapter in the mystery, has to do with something out from that resurrection, wherein there's no corruption. Think about that. Look at Colossians this morning, first chapter. Let me say this while we're moving to that, that all of Paul's letters and the letters of the circumcision as well, prior to Acts 28:28, held out the hope in their lifetime of a rapture with a view toward inheriting all the promises that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the children of Israel. All through that period of time, Paul himself included himself in all those promises too. But after the mystery was given, he looked forward to something else and made preparation for a martyr's death. But a martyr's death that would take him not through the corruptive route, but to an incorruptive route. We're going to see that this morning, I hope. And that is only because the Word of God is complete can we really have it, that being able to respond to that faith. In Colossians, it makes it clear. Paul says, and I know that you've heard this so many times, so what's he reading that for? Incidentally, if you didn't hear the broadcast yesterday, you ought to. Tom did a marvelous job. And I was glad he referred to me in it because he said, I always said, repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. I'll tell you, that's the only way. People are the hardest thing, and just like sheep. You got to tell them over and over and over again before they finally get a hold of it. But I want you to notice that verse 25 again, Colossians 1. Paul said, I am made the minister for this administration of God with a view toward what? Fulfilling or completing the word of God. Next verse tells you what it is. It's the mystery. And that mystery was hidden from the ages and from the generations. It's not the subject matter of anything else that went before. It's brand new. It's right from the heart and hand of God for his people. It is not for the lost, the world. It's for the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Did you know you won't find that God ever addresses his people that way except in the mystery? They don't find it. You won't find it anywhere else. This is the icing on the cake he's offering in the complete Word of God. If you want to stay with the beggarly elements, play with tricycles, that's all right. God has something better for you. And an assurance that if you can accept it, your response, you see, the faith is the light he gives you in the mystery, but your response to it is how much you share it. The unity that we have in the Spirit depends upon the measure of Christ in our life. Why? Because the more we know him, the more we have of what? For in him is hidden what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You won't find it somewhere else, beloved. You've got to come to the place that he's put it in. It's departmentalized. You cannot defeat the truth of that fact by taking something out from outside of it either. It has to be within confines. You cannot use one truth of the Bible, which is a truth, to defeat the truth. It can't be done. You see? God looks on every heart, and he knows the commitment of your life, and what you committed to is what really is going to count. That's your response. We're all pretty good at putting on a good front, you know, but there ain't no front you put on with God. He sees you and he knows you. It's the very fact, that very fact alone should not only scare you, but appreciate the grace that's extended to you. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, just the beginning. We deal with a God who's your very breath, your next thought, depends upon him. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take Mac's word for it either. You better prove it yourself. You were made to be a creature in his image. It's high time that we stand up and act like that. The word of God is complete. We'll find it in the mystery we see in verse 26. You won't find it somewhere else. Don't look for it. When you think you see a similar truth somewhere else, it's not. Like truth does not make it the same truth. It is not. Notice the verse 28 there, the word perfect. God's moving toward the perfect, mature man. Verse 28. It's in Christ Jesus. That's the very word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. John speaks about when that which is perfect has come, and that which is in part is what? Done away with. We have the perfect, completed Word of God, then we cannot deal with in parts and build anything. We have to take the whole. And we bring all the parts together to see what part they play in the scheme of things. That's right division, beloved, all the way. That hope that we have now as a result of this complete Word of God is found in Philippians, if you will. If you turn there. And chapter 3. Preparatory now for what we're going to be seeing. There are three key words are used in the Bible concerning God's relationship with his people. Two of them are used prior to the mystery. The word apocalypse, which is translated revelation. The other one is the parousia, which is translated coming. The parousia has to do with somebody's personal presence because of who he is and what he has to do. The apocalypse, the revelation, has to do with the unfailing of that person. God, Paul never uses those words in the mystery. He uses an entirely different word, epiphany, which means literally to shine upon. It's used in the sense, you remember when Paul was adrift at sea, great storms. He said there was no appearing of the stars. There was no shining upon us. There was no help from God. There was no intervention. But Paul holds out the hope that we have in the intervention. And God does not have to come down here personally to intervene for us. He intervenes for you every day. And the final intervention will be to take you out of corruption. And I want you to see that this morning. Paul said in the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians that he counted all things lost. The things that had prior to that he counted lost and counted them as dung. A lot of high things he's talking about there too. Things that had been the very heartbeat of Paul's life. You read carefully that chapter. Things that had counted before with him. Now he said, I count them as dung. That's a hard word, too, that word dung. A lot stronger than English, I'll tell you. And he said, I do this in order that I may get to know him. Because I realize now I'm complete in Christ. That's all there is. That's all there is. There's nothing else. None of the things that religion performs or anything like that doesn't mean a thing before God. Now, it doesn't mean a thing. All the programs, all the rituals, all this is eyewash. Christ is all there. That I may get to know him. Now notice, and the power of his resurrection. This word, we've dealt with this word many times here. It's the Greek word dunamis. It is not an authority. It is an inherent power. It's our English word dynamite. That's what we get our word dynamite from. It's the Greek word dunamis. Paul said, I want to get to know him in that context of his resurrection. I want to get to know him, the fellowship of his suffering in that context. I want to get to know him in the conformity of his death in that context. What for? That I may advance, or that I may attain that which is what? Out from the resurrection. Not that I've already attained or gotten that far, but I, notice, I set it all aside. Forgetting what? All those things that are behind, everything that's gone before that meant something. is what? Dumb. I don't want anything to hinder. I just want to get to know him in this context. To come out from the resurrection that was my hope before to something else. What is that? Something out from the resurrection. Something that knows Christ in that inherent power. Something that knows the real suffering of Christ. Not just the fact that he suffered physically, but the real heartbreak. Something that will conform me to his death. His death. Not any other death, just his death. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. You'll find there that when Christ died, better just read that verse just to be sure you don't miss it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection out from the dead. And as Peter on his first sermon preached, that he saw no corruption. Paul said, that's the resurrection that I'm talking about. Turning now to 2 Timothy, as Paul's last letter, chapter 1. He talks to Timothy in this letter about a deposit. He's going to give to Timothy to carry on. Verse 7, the first chapter. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's the spirit we have now. Love and a disciplined mind. A mind that can think these things through. And keep in mind all the things that were being testified against Paul at this time. He was all alone. As he said in the 15th verse, all those in Asia be turned away from me. These were God's people he was talking about. They hadn't turned away from Christ, they turned away from Paul. This last truth was just too much because it ruled out anything in the way of religion. He left them with nowhere. There's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian, a Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all. That's all there is. Religion did not want that kind of a God. Don't be ashamed of this testimony, nor of me, his prisoner. Why? Because verse 9, he saved us and called us with what? A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the ages. Before there was ever any ages. We're not talking about something in history. We're talking about something before history. What was it? But manifest, to be made manifest, by the divine intervention, not the appearance. This is the epiphany. The divine intervention of a Savior, of our Savior, Jesus Christ Jesus, on the one hand, abrogating or abolishing, if you will, the death. And on the other hand, bringing to light life, not biological life, but Zoe life, eternal life. And not immortality, but incorruption. Here's the resurrection of Christ. Same resurrection, incorruptible. Let me translate that afresh for you so you get it in your mind. This salvation that was before the age times is manifest through what? Through the divine intervention. And God is intervening right now. If you listen, with the faith for you, what, to respond to it. On the one hand, abrogating, abolishing death. On the other hand, bringing to light this life and this incorruptible resurrection. Now coming back to Philippians. That I may get to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means, this or any other thing, that I might attain or advance unto the out from resurrection. If you don't have that in your Bible, translate it away, write it in there, because it should be. Paul said, I've not attained that maturity yet now, but, and I'll show you why he did in a minute. But I follow after to lay hold to this, to apprehend, if you will, verse 12. In order to do that, I've got to forget verse 13, forgetting those things that behind that really wasn't, were important, but they're not important now. What's important is what I'm talking about, he said. And I reached forth to those things before. I pressed toward, verse 14, I pressed toward this mark, this goal, for this prize. Now, when you have that kind of understanding, then notice the next step. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, whatever degree of maturity you have, begin to think like this, be thus minded. And if anything you think otherwise, then God should reveal even that to you, if you're really walking by confidence in him. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, don't slip back. We're going to go forward. There's no retreat. The armor of God that give us has given us all covers our front. We don't have anything to cover our back. And once you slip back, you're exposed to the enemy. You cannot do that, beloved. You have to keep on, keeping on. Whatever you've already attained, let us walk with the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Be imitators of me, Paul said. Can you imagine that? Do you ever find anybody else talking about that? Do you ever see Peter, Paul, say, imitate me? Well, they're not talking about the mystery. That's given to Paul. It's addressed to us for our what? Faith obedience. Imitate me. And notice those who do. Notice. Mark them who walk as you have us for an example. Many walk of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, that the enemies of the stake of Christ. We ought to start calling it a stake. That's what it is. Isn't the word cross at all? I hope Tommy will preach his sermon on these days on the cross. Show you how the enemy substituted that word for what it really is. Don't forget that. I won't be here probably, but you don't forget. That's what religion has to offer. Notice their end is a waste. If they're saved, they're not going to be destroyed, but everything they're doing is what? Is wasteful. It's whistling Dixie. South's not going right, beloved. I wish it would, but it ain't. That's a waste. Why? Here's the whole crux of the matter. Why? Our citizenship whereabouts. And as I wish that you could appreciate grief, because here's where you could. Our citizenship exists even now in the heavens. Out from where we also await a Savior. Where are we going to be waiting? Our place of our citizenship. We await a Savior. What's he going to do? He's going to change this body of my humiliation. What are you going to change it to? Like his glory. How can I be manifest with him glory if he don't make a change? There's no way. And this is going to do by the energy. That word operation, incidentally, is a, in the, in a, the word you're trying, the Bible says, probably says working. But that's saying the word energy. It's the energy of God. Can you imagine that? That does all this work in our life. It's His energy. It brings about this change. And He's able to subdue, notice, bring under subjection. That's His ability to bring unto Himself all these things. This is the out from resurrection, beloved. Paul, notice, and our time is getting away, and I got to close it out, but I want to deal with this, and I hope this really takes hold of you, because if it don't, keep praying, and God will give you wisdom to study for yourself. Turn to 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, chapter 4, verse 6. Paul's, keep in mind, now Paul's getting ready to go to guillotine. He's really downhearted. Let me see this. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. We've discussed this word before, but I want to emphasize it again. Other people writing in the Bible about death use the Greek word Exodus. Well, you know what an Exodus is. You go into a building and say, Exodus, you know what that is. That's when you go out of the building. Paul don't use that word at all. Not an Exodus at all. He uses two Greek words. Analuo. I'm going to be turned loose from above. I've been too limited down here. I'm going to get with it now. The time I've been let loose from above has come. I've fought a good fight. And brother, let me tell you, in that prison, all the men had forsaken me, as he goes on to tell. Notice verse 16. My first answer, all men forsook me. He's all alone. And verse 11, only Luke. Luke's the only one. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and me, his prisoner. Even though all those in Asia be turned away from me, don't be ashamed. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have a truth that will take us out from the ordinary into the ultimate glory of God. Too big for you? I'll stick with the bigger elements then. That's your privilege. Paul's telling you to go on now. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the, notice, he didn't say I've kept faith. I've kept the faith. That which is addressed to me for my faith and obedience. I've kept the faith. It laid up for me a crown. What is that crown? I did the right thing, that's all. That's what righteousness is. You did the right thing. The righteous judge should give me at that day. What the day? It ain't very far for him, because not just to me only, but also all them that love his what? Not his appearing, his divine intervention. Just as he's intervened through all your life, the reason you're sitting in that pew this morning, as you walk into that what you call the valley of death, it'll only be a shadow. There'll be no corruption there. It's a resurrection like unto our Lord, apart from corruption. It is not the resurrection of prophecy, but it is something out from that resurrection into his glorious presence, who were here changed. This body that's humiliated in me all my life, like unto what? His glory. That's the out resurrection. More notice. That's settled. Do your diligence to get here in a hurry. Time running out. And it always struck me as really almost laughable, looking at it from a human point of view. But from Paul's point of view, I appreciate it. He said, I want you to know, Timothy, I left a cloak, a coat over there at Troas. Be sure and pick it up. Yeah. And not only that, but those books I left, and especially what? The parchments. See, as long as you're here.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.